let's bring in our buddy Craig Button, TSN hockey analyst, our director of scouting at TSN. Craig, how's it going?
It's going really well. Now, I have to ask you this question, Julia. How much cross-country skiing did you get in on Monday, Tuesday, even yesterday? And more importantly, AB, did you get any cross-country skiing in?
Absolutely not. No, Craig.
I didn't either. I don't think I left my house
either of those days.
Well, downtown Toronto had snow, Julia. It wasn't like you couldn't go take out the skis and just go touring around.
I saw someone doing that on Twitter. Someone posted a video of a person with cross-country skis. The unfortunate, I don't actually own cross-country skis. I'm a renter. So next time there's a snowstorm, I'll have to acquire a pair because that guy who was skiing around downtown Toronto seemed to have life figured out on Monday. He was the guy.
I don't think I've ever strapped on a pair of skis in my life, to be honest with you. I've never had the opportunity to either. I don't know.
We got to write that down for you and O-Dog.
Yeah, that was one of the events that people are thinking. You know, that Olympic event where you cross-country ski and then you shoot the targets. Someone brought that up. I don't think it's going to happen, but somebody brought that up, and I'm like, I've never even worn skis. How the heck am I going to be able to do that? I don't know. You a skier, Craig?
I am. I cross-country ski and downhill, and O does the downhill part too, so he's got an edge on you there.
He does.
And, you know, he was a different kind of shooter in the NHL and a pretty good one. Right, but I would imagine with that kind of eye-hand coordination that he would be a pretty good one with the biathlon rifle in his hand.
Yeah, not a fair one, I think. Not a fair one for myself.
We've got our TSN hockey analyst Craig Button on the phone right now. Craig, Leafs dropped another one last night. They've had a 3-1 lead in 4 of their past 5 games, and their opponent has erased that lead every single time. So, I don't know. This gets blown up because of the Toronto thing, the blowing leads thing. Everybody's very sensitive about it here. But can you break down why are the Leafs struggling to hold on to a lead lately?
Well, it's not lately. It's happened at previous times. And here's what I'll say to you both, is that, you know, in those 4 games, think about who they played. They were playing good teams, and good teams know how to take advantage of you. And the Toronto Maple Leafs have not demonstrated to me that they can play situational hockey very well, understanding that, like, hey, we got this game under control. You know, keeping a game under control, we're up 3-1, we're up 4-1. I don't use the term protect the lead because that's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about saying you're not going to get a chance. We're not going to do anything that's going to give you a chance. And, you know, you hear it all the time, you know, with football. And I don't think the Toronto Maple Leafs do very well with situational hockey. I think they have a game plan. They know how they want to play, but they continue to play the same way and it gets them into problems. And I'm talking about, you know, there's times when you just need positional discipline. I know you want to apply pressure, and I know pressure becomes a big part of the game, but not all the time. You know, and I don't think they do that very well. Colorado, Vegas, St. Louis, and New York Rangers, all good teams. All good teams that are saying, okay, you're going to give us a chance to get back into the game. We're going to take advantage of you. Daryl Sutter told me this years ago about Chris Chelios, and it's an individual example that applies to the macro. He said Chris was so smart. And he would understand. He said, we're on the road. We got a 2-goal lead, and we got to fly after the game. We got a game the next day. He said Chris Chelios would look like a defenseman that couldn't make a play, but he was making all the right plays. All he was doing was taking the puck, flipping it high, getting it out. You're not going to get a chance. I'm not going to put our team and our other players under unnecessary duress. And he said when the game was in the balance, Chris was right at the forefront of it, and he was initiating, and we were really good. But he understood that, you know what, 3-1's fine. 4-1's fine. 4-2's fine. I don't have to make it 5-2, because if I try to make it 5-2, it might be 4-3. And that's what, to me, the Toronto Maple Leafs have not demonstrated in a meaningful way to me.
My only pushback on that would be that earlier in the season, it did seem like they were pretty good at locking it down. They were having some good third periods. They were, what, 16-0 when leading after two up until a couple of weeks ago. So I don't know if I necessarily think it's been a elongated thing all season long, but recently it seems to have been an issue. And yesterday, Sheldon Keefe talked about how the team was just a little bit too soft and felt that they played purposeless. Did you agree with that assessment, and did that factor into the loss last night?
Well, purposeless, with purpose, you know, I mean, what did they have? Almost 40 shots on goal. They had a 3-1 lead. Like, you know, it's a comment that's made by Sheldon. I don't know what the meaning of it is. Purposeless. Give me some examples, Sheldon. And, you know, again, we're talking about four of the last five games, AB, all good teams. And, yep. and as you move along the season, right, teams are looking for what I refer to as the soft underbelly of your team. I don't think the Toronto Maple Leafs do very well in situational hockey. And they get exposed against good teams. I think it's a problem for them.
Yeah, that's what Sheldon Keefe. Sorry, go ahead, AB.
Well, I was just saying, like, it's a problem because what they've been playing recently are playoff teams, and these are the games that they're going to have to play that are going to mean a lot going forward when you're playing against them. I mean, the Rangers are a team that you could potentially end up playing down the road in a playoff game, and if you can't hunker down and buckle down, that's where it's going to become a problem. To me, it's the teams that they're losing to right now and the teams that they're giving up leads to is the same type of competition that they're going to play come springtime when it really matters. And we know that that's been an issue here in Toronto for the last 5 years. Well, last like 17 years, realistically. But specifically, the last 5 years, they've had first-round exits.
Bingo. You said it. I mean, when you're in the playoffs, you're playing against playoff teams. 16 teams are gone. 16 of the weak teams are gone. Doesn't matter anymore what you've done. You know, I had this conversation the other day on Edmonton Radio. Because they were talking about Mike Smith, and they were talking about his season last year. He played against six teams last year, and three of them were no good. So we're going to start talking about, you know, last year, Mike Smith's record, which was good. Don't get me wrong. He performed really well against six teams, of which three were not very good at all. So that's what we're now going to say, that, you know, you look at the Edmonton Oilers, and you're going to keep counting on that goaltending to get you back into it. And to your point, AB, that's exactly where the Toronto Maple Leafs have to be better. They have to understand it. And they have not convinced me. They have not shown me in any demonstrable way that they can play smart, solid situational hockey. And when Sheldon just comes out and says, purposeless hockey, good, just throw out words. What is it, mindless, soft? What do you mean? Tell me what you mean. We didn't make the right decisions. We weren't good on the puck. We didn't get body position. Like, who provides the purpose? Isn't it a coach's job to instill purpose in your team and to keep them, like, on track? It's amazing. You know, one of the things, and I talked about this last week with Sheldon, it's amazing when they lose, like, all the things that, like, he talks about they didn't do. Better not let that creep in very long. That's how coaches lose credibility with their players.
In conversation with TSN hockey analyst Craig Button, and, you know, you brought up the goaltending, and that was, you know, a bit of an issue the last little bit. Jack Campbell coming off a red-hot November. He was the second star of the month and maybe the best month of goaltending we've seen in my lifetime from a Maple Leafs guy. But since December 1st, he's had a fairly pedestrian 901 save percentage, a 315 goals against. Now, I'm not saying we're in panic mode here, but how should the Leaf fans kind of feel about what they've seen out of Jack Campbell of late?
Well, I think we all know how they feel. Like, it's like, you know, it's the ups and downs of a season. It's the ups and downs of a team's play where they showed, you know, real positive signs. And then, you know, now those signs aren't as positive. And yeah, you start to consider, okay, what does this mean? And why could this be the case? I mean, Jack Campbell, you know, is being asked to carry a significant load on a team right now that's loose. So you combine those two things, right? And I think it, you know, mental fatigue becomes a part of it. Physical fatigue becomes a part of it. You know, also the fact that the Toronto Maple Leafs, you know, trying to find a rhythm, you know, that could be also a factor. But I think there's always a point where you look and go, okay, what do we have to address here? What's the one or two things with Jack that we got to address and help him because it might be slipping? And then go from that. Because I don't think there's no crisis here. And if anything, you got to look at, you know, the injury to the backup. And, how much can the health of Peter Mrazek and him being able to play games and alleviate some of that workload on Jack help? I mean, they all go hand in hand. But, you know, when you're losing and as you point out, the save percentage and some of the play that we've seen from Jack in recent games, yeah, you look at it. But now, you know, they have to dig in and work at the details and understand what those details are and try to hone them. And every goaltender goes through this, but I don't think it's any major cause for concern. Now, if it continues on for a number of more games, well, then you might have you might raise your level of concern, but I don't think that's the case now.
Craig, Sheldon Keefe went into last night without Jake Muzzin, without Justin Hall. Liljegren and Sandin slotted in on that second pairing. And before the game, he said, no matter what happens tonight, it's going to be a great learning experience, and these two are going to come out of it better hockey players. Obviously, a tough night for that pairing and for the pairing below them last night. But was last night a good indicator of just how important Jake Muzzin is to this team as a defenseman? And in addition to that, what do you think Sandin and Liljegren can take away from last night's game?
Morgan Rielly and TJ Brodie have played very well for the Toronto Maple Leafs. Jake Muzzin and Justin Hall have not played very well. Last year, that was a really good second pair defense. So we talk about Jake Muzzin. Like, and there's been a lot of, I mean, Justin Hall said it. Jake Muzzin has not been very good. He hasn't been, simply put. So the Toronto Maple Leafs don't have a problem. You're always going to have a problem when you scale defensemen or players up the lineup and ask them to do more than they're capable of. And, you know, put them under that. I think Rasmus Sandin is in a continuous process of his game improving and developing. And that's going to continue. That will be the case, you know, in the next games. And it's always going to be a learning process for defensemen. Timothy Liljegren, you know, he's found his way into the lineup as a good, solid third pair defenseman. When you start getting scaled up the lineup against a really good team and some really good skilled players, sometimes it's not that you're not going to be capable. You just might not be capable right now. But the Toronto Maple Leafs, if the play of their second pair defense, Jake Muzzin and Justin Hall, doesn't improve, this is going to be a big problem for them. And back to what we talked about earlier, AB, it's going to be a big problem for them against good teams.
Right. For Jake Muzzin, I think last night what I gained from it is just how much more bite he brings to the team. And Ryan Reeves had his way with that pairing, had his way with a lot of the defense last night. And it wasn't just Reeves. You know, you saw Kevin Rooney getting in on the forecheck. And it seemed like those younger guys, those smaller guys, were just a little bit, they struggled with the forecheck and with the physicality in last night's game. And that's the one thing that Jake Muzzin still does bring to it. That's the biggest element that he has on this blue line. And I just really felt like that was lacking last night. And I know he struggled this season, but to me, I saw it last night, and it was kind of like you don't know what you got till it's gone. And there was certainly a feeling that Jake Muzzin was a big absence last night on the blue line. That's how I kind of felt coming out of that game, at least.
Jake is always going to compete. Jake is a competitor. This, you know, just because you're struggling, just because you're not playing at the level that you've shown that you're capable of playing at, doesn't mean you're any less of a competitor. And Jake certainly is that, AB, and certainly will stand up to the challenges and everything. And when you're playing any team and you have that element on your side, it's something that can give you an advantage. So certainly something with Jake's absence, that part of that element was absent as well.
Oh, sorry, I thought you had it. Sorry. I'll take it here.
Me and AB are having communication issues, Craig, because we sit on Zoom and we're not sitting next to one another. It's so difficult.
All right, here's a question for you, Craig. We're talking about the blue line right now, and I think last night is an indicator, again, that this blue line needs an upgrade, some sort of significant upgrade, I would say. So if you're Kyle Dubas, how aggressively would you be pursuing a defenseman before the deadline? Would you be willing to give up significant assets to improve that blue line at any cost?
Yeah, I mean, I think you look at your team, and the Toronto Maple Leafs are a good team. And I think that, you know, you want to try to strengthen your group in areas that you look at and you say that other teams might be able to take advantage of. Back to good teams. The playoffs are good teams. So what I would say, if I'm looking at it, number one, identify what you need. I think they need some bulk and weight on the blue line. That's what I think they need. Anybody that thinks that you don't need some bulk and weight and some heaviness on the blue line, all I'm going to tell you is, I'll just give you the Tampa Bay Lightning as an example. If you don't think Eric Chernak and Jan Rutta were really significant to the success of the Tampa Bay Lightning, then there's no need for us to have any more discussion. You need a balance of types of players. It's not just one type of player. I don't think they have enough weight and bulk on the blue line. I think they might need two guys, not just one. I think they absolutely need one player like that. You know, you ask that, a Ben Chiarot type player. That's the type of player I think they need. And they might need two like that. So you look at your team and you try to understand, how do you maximize your team's potential right now? You're always managing the future and everything. So you ask yourself, what are significant assets? You know, everybody has a different definition of significant assets. You know, it's about knowing your prospect pool. It's about knowing who you have. I've talked about this. The Toronto Maple Leafs' best prospect at present time is Topi Niemelä. He's shredding the Finnish league. He's a right shot defenseman. He's 19 years old, going to turn 20 this year. So you start to look at him and you go, well, is that a player we would trade, or can we trade somebody off our team? Like, you know, and make a move. You know, it all depends, you know, how you see your own players, how other people see your own players as to what is significant. And so I think that the first thing is what do we need, and then what is the cost? The Toronto Maple Leafs have some good prospects in their system despite not having first-round picks. You know, Nick Robertson's still a good prospect. I talk about Niemelä. Matthew Nyes is a good prospect. He's going to play for the U.S. Olympic team. You have Roni Hirvonen, who's a good prospect. And you know what? I haven't even mentioned some other guys that, you know, people might think are really good. Amirov, who was their first-round draft pick,
yeah.
I don't have him ahead of the four guys I just named, but maybe the Leafs do, and maybe somebody else in the league thinks they are. So I don't, you know, when we talk about significant, one person's evaluation of significant might be the opposite of somebody else's. But I think you look at your team, you're always trying to maximize the potential of your team, and I think this team has potential, but they're lacking in that area on the blue line.
Craig, Ilya Mikheyev has 6 goals in 8 games this season. His agent, Dan Milstein, last night tweeted out a show me the money picture that has since been deleted. What do you think about this new era of agent and their social media tactics of negotiations?
Yeah, I have no problem with it. I mean, is it a tactic? You know, you're always trying to gain an edge in a negotiation, no matter what it is. So it's a tactic. I think with the with players' contracts and as a manager, what you're trying to do is, and I always use the term, you have to have dispassionate assessment. And great, Dan put that out. That's okay. Is that gonna affect where I'm at? If I'm a manager, no. I'm going to look at it and go, okay, what does it mean? What do we think his value is? You know, what does the agent think the value is? Can we fit him in? Can we not fit him in and whatnot? And I honestly, Julia, I could care less about all that stuff. He can go take out a billboard and put it right up on the Gardener and say, show me the money. I don't care. And neither should Kyle Dubas. Like, it's not like that's not the way you work within a negotiation. And if Dan or any other agent, that's what they think you have to do. You know, bottom line is, you got to negotiate. There's a value equation, and does it fit or doesn't it? That's the dispassionate part of it, and that's where you better be. Because if not, you're going to run into factors that are going to contribute to you making a decision that shouldn't.
Do we lose him?
Oh, no, AB.
I think we lost him. I think we lost him. All good. I think that Dan Milstein, when we look at that, is he there? Craig, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay, so we were just talking about the new agent's way of going about the new social media way of negotiating and negotiations. I'm not sure if you had more to finish your thought there, but I also wanted to quickly chat before we let you go here. We've only got like a minute or two. But I did want to get your thoughts on the Montreal Canadiens and Kent Hughes' press conference yesterday. I want to get your biggest takeaway, your first impressions, and what you think maybe his first order of business should be.
So I don't know where you heard me finish on Dan Milstein. I don't care. He can put up a billboard on the Gardener. You know what? It's dispassionate assessment. You have to. There's a value equation, and either a player fits or he doesn't. You got to make. If you want to put in all these other factors and make it part of your decision making, you're going to make mistakes. To me, the value equation. Here's what it is. Here's what it fits. Comparables. Everything you go and move on. I don't really care what the agents do or anybody for that matter with respect to trying to gain an edge in negotiation. That is just something. It's a tool. Something you're trying to gain. It would never matter, never did. Now, for the Montreal Canadiens, I mean, I've known Kent Hughes for a long, long time, and Kent is a bright guy. He's an intelligent guy. He's coming into a scenario in Montreal where, you know, the spotlight is bright, and, you know, the chair that he's going to be sitting in, can get heat. But Jeff Molson said, I want more voices in the decision-making process, not less. Jeff Gorton hires Kent Hughes. It's not stopping there. You know, they're going to have to add other players. They're going to have other people into positions that can really support them, Jeff and Kent, in their areas where they may be a little bit lacking. But, you know, Kent's well-spoken. Kent is intelligent. Kent has lots of experience in the industry. That was yesterday. It's not going to change one thing with respect to how you proceed forward in addressing the needs of the team and the issues that surround the team, because it matters today, tomorrow, and you're leading into the trade deadline and the draft to try to build a competitive team. But, you know, these are just steps along the way, and, you know, they're far from completed in a lot of regards, but this is the direction the Montreal Canadiens are going in, and, you know, that's what Jeff Molson wants, and that's exactly what he's getting.
All right, Craig, really appreciate it. Actually, before I let you go, I do need to ask this question, because we got into this a little bit earlier just before the show. We were having a conversation. We're doing our power rankings later in the show for the final segment, and we're discussing it's going to be the teams that we want to avoid in the first round of the playoffs. And Steph and I, producer Steph, were having a discussion if we should base the current standings based on points or points percentage. Where do you stand on that debate?
Well, here's what I would say. Go by points percentage if there's a wide gap in games played.
If you're kind of annoying. Not...
It's statistically factual, okay?
Julia took the words right out of my mouth.
There we go. There we go.
So you're trying to be nice, Craig.
No, what do you mean try? I don't have to try. I am nice. Come on, AB. like other people might have to try. I'm nice. Anyway, honestly, if the games are close, if you're within a game or two of each other, go by points. If there's a wide gap, then go by point percentage.
Yeah.
You know what? There is a pretty big discrepancy between teams right now because of COVID and the break and the not break. So maybe you can have this round, AB.
Yeah, you got some teams that have played 10 less games than one.
Yeah,
okay.
You can have this round.
Why don't we just narrow it down, okay? You want to do your thing, okay? Florida, Tampa Bay, and Toronto are close in games played. That's who they're going to play. You know, 2-3. So why don't you just look at those things and say, who would you least rather play, Florida or Tampa Bay?
Well, that's essentially what we're looking at. And if the playoffs started today, right? We're saying, if it started today, would you go based off of the points or points percentage? Because it depends on if you play Florida or Tampa in the first round. But... That's a debate for another day. We got to fly here, Craig, but appreciate weighing in on it. I think you wanted to give me the nod, but Julia just had to get in there and get her say, which I don't know. I don't know what that meant, but...
AB, I want to be very clear with you, okay? And, like, as much as I like you and, like, and as bright as you are, like, I default to Julia's side because...
Because she brought you a Persian. I get it.
And wait a second. She's bright. We work together in Red Deer. She braves the cold. She's got cross-country ski blood in her, right? And she brought me a Persian.
That's a lot of points, AB. It's just the Persian. Let's be honest. It's just the Persian. All right, Craig. Appreciate it. We'll chat again next week.